It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 390. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions for future show topics or ask any tech question, and I'll do my very best to answer it. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. We have two voicemail messages for tonight. The phone number is 240-949-2450. And that's Mike Tech Show, all one word on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Mike Tech Show, or Facebook, or Facebook. That's facebook.com/Mike Tech Show. I have a jam-packed show tonight. Lots of responses to the questions I was asking last week. So we got a lot of follow-up. And then we also have some interesting questions, one involving security, another excellent question that you're going to love towards the end of the show that I could spend a lifetime answering, but I will do my best in condensing it. I do have some music for the end of the show. And like I said, mix in a couple voicemails. When it comes to running a successful business, there are many things you have to get right, like hiring good people. But one thing is often overlooked, and that's protecting the data that powers your business. Did you know that 12,000 laptops are lost or stolen at airports every single week? Even a single incident of data loss isn't cheap. It can cost $10,000 or more to recover data from a single laptop or server. Businesses of all sizes and consumers use Mozy Pro to back up everything from emails, contacts, important documents, to family pictures and music. It's automatic and it works. One advertising executive's company lost an entire bank of servers, which nearly brought their business to its knees. Then he found Mozy Pro. He says, "I was shocked at how fast it works and their people know how to work with Macs." Mozy Pro business backup plans are affordable and there are no contracts to sign or hardware to buy. Give our friends at Mozy a call. They've been doing this for a long time and run the most secure, most trusted online backup service. Right now, you can save 15% by using promo code PODCAST15. Call 877-669-9776. That's 877-669-9776 or visit mozypro.com. That's mozypro.com. First email is a response to my hosting problems with GoDaddy. And this is from Rick, who's in the chat and also is the host of a great podcast, The Force Field Podcast, and that's at www.theforcefield.net. Rick, I think, actually had it worse than I. Let me begin reading here. Note, this is a little long, but if you have the time and patience, feel free to share it with listeners. Hi, Mike. Sorry I missed the live show. I listened to it tonight, and your GoDaddy problems mirror my own. As you've probably heard from my rants in the past, I have the same issues with GoDaddy, and I wanted to share with your listeners. March 10th, 2011, my entire website suddenly went offline. This included the main portal, the forums, podcast page, and wiki. The forums are fairly active, so it required my immediate attention. I called GoDaddy, who hosts the site, and was an advertiser on my show. I was given a minimum 24-hour response time for the incident, but was assured it could be resolved sooner. A couple of days and several frustrated phone calls later, someone at GoDaddy finally got a clue as to what the problem actually was and fixed it in 3 minutes. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a second and interject. I would not get off the phone until my website was fixed. I would not leave. They wanted to say, well, look, we don't know when this we're going to get to it. I said, no, you don't understand. I'm holding here and you're going to escalate it. And I am going to remain online with you right now until it is fixed. And I would not take no for an answer. I don't know if you did that or not. Now to continue, while troubleshooting that, GoDaddy changed file permissions, which prevented access to all the files and folders in the domain. That's what happened to me last week. Once they restored permissions, which only took them a couple of minutes while I was on hold, everything was back up after 34 hours and 50 minutes of downtime. That is so unacceptable. 3 days later, I received this email from GoDaddy. Due to its complex nature, your issue has been relayed to our advanced technical support team. Our most skilled technicians will be working to resolve your issue quickly and completely. You will be notified promptly upon resolution. To thank you for your patience, would like you to enjoy 10% off your order of $30 or more at GoDaddy.com. Simply use a source code when you order or mention the code when you call. Are you kidding me? As Rick knows, we can get 20% off using codes that we already have. P.S. As a GoDaddy customer, you're already a member of our affiliate program. Click here to start earning commissions instantly. So, 3 days after it was resolved, it was escalated due to its complex nature. It was a relatively simple issue that was caused by GoDaddy and fixed in about 3 minutes when they finally got around to it. Oh, and while I'm waiting for GoDaddy to restore service I already paid for and don't have, why don't I buy some more of it? Yes, they did that to me a couple months ago on one of my outages. P.S. Also, while I'm waiting, can I go out and try to sell some for them? In September of 2011, I began having intermittent outages for short periods, usually about 5 minutes. I called GoDaddy and they told me the same thing they told you, Mike. My site was on an old legacy server. They offered a free upgrade to a new fourth generation server. I said, fine. So they did it, or so I was told. A couple of weeks ago, the outages began again, so I called GoDaddy. That's when I learned the truth. My site was still on an old server. They never actually moved it. Why? After checking into it a couple of days, they told me. Because front page extensions were installed, and my site still had a couple of old MySQL databases running. They said I could disable the front page extensions, take down or upgrade the old databases, and then they could move it in about 3 days, which is what they told me. I was livid. First, why did they tell me they did move it and why they didn't? Second, why didn't they check or tell me about the requirements needed to move it first before they committed to the task? Third, I'm supposed to be on a LAMP server. I don't use or need front page extensions. They aren't supposed to be there. Who installed them for my domain and why? Finally, why did it take them so long to figure this out and tell me? It was as if GoDaddy was putting the blame for this little screw up on me. I used to advertise and support GoDaddy on my show, and I used to too. And my site, not anymore. I cannot endorse a company that acts this slow to support issues and is more interested in selling service than actually delivering it. GoDaddy has been a bad daddy and a no daddy to me. Rick, I like that. And I feel your pain and I'm sorry that you had to go through all this also. What are they doing? Are they just paying, you know, minimum wage people to be the first and second tier for support And this is what we're getting. We're getting people that, you know, they make up stories to just go, you know, they're allowed to say anything they want to just get you off the phone. And of course, they're always going to point that it's your problem. You know, it's, you know, my website. Well, my website hasn't changed. It's WordPress. And it hasn't changed in years. There was nothing I was doing or changing anything that caused the outage. All the outages were absolutely GoDaddy, and they eventually had to admit it with me. Your story reminds me of a story that I want to share. And it was, I might have talked about this a long time ago. This show's going to run real long. I don't care. When HP bought Compaq, and I was a corporate network manager that purchased large volumes of both HP and Compaq. Now, after they merged, they took the HP team that used to support me and gave me the, who really cared about everything. And let me tell you, the original HP support team for corporate support was phenomenal. And I loved them, and they took care of all of our needs and everything. If I had a problem, it was taken care of. Compaq was the exact opposite. I hated my account team from Compaq. So what did HP, when they bought Compaq, what'd they do in the Philadelphia area or right outside Philadelphia? They forced down my throat the Compaq team. To make a long story short, I was having a major problem with Compaq Insight Manager. And we were having some issues with the servers, and I really needed this worked. And we worked with Compaq support and everything, and it was a problem that needed to be resolved. And my senior network engineer was working the issue, and one of the problems that we found was we were hitting a roadblock in the Compaq support. So we really needed some extra assistance. So now I wanted to reach out to my account manager, and I told my senior network engineer, I want you to call our account manager and let him know what we're having and what does he recommend. Is there a way he can escalate this, maybe get someone on site? Now, remember, I have 200 servers in my data center. When the rep talked to my senior network engineer, she came into my office and closed the door and said, I have the answer for our problem from our Compaq rep, or our new, you know, HP rep. She says, before I tell you, I ask one favor. Can I be in the room here when you make a phone call after I tell you what he said? And I said, absolutely. She said, this is what he said to our problem. Is Mike buying any more servers? When's the next purchase going to be? She says, I'm calling about a problem we're having. Yeah, I know, but we need some more volume from you and everything before I'm going to help you. Can I tell Mike exactly what you said? Yes. They hang up. She comes in, and I call my rep, and I said, "This is, you're going to love this. This is a data center with 200 HP and Compaq servers. I am a Compaq guy through and through." I pick up the phone, and I tell my rep, my answer to your question, am I buying more servers? I now buy Dell. I hung up the phone. I called a senior vice president in HP, which I had his phone number, and I said, you remove this man from my account immediately, or there will never, ever be a purchase of HP or Compaq ever again in our organization. Hung up. I called my Dell rep, who must have thought he was dreaming because he had been working me for a couple years and would never get my attention because I'm an HP guy. I'm a Compaq guy. I am not a Dell person at that point. And I pick up the phone. I call my Dell rep. I kid you not. Did he get a speeding ticket? He must have. He was in my office in 20 minutes. I think he's an hour away. In 20 minutes, he was in front of me, and I gave him a purchase order for 6 Dell servers because I was ready to buy 6 more servers, and they were Dell. And that is how Dell entered our organization. And HP couldn't believe it. And I continued to buy Dell until HP rectified my problem. I hit them right where it's supposed to hurt. And I made sure that person never darkened our doorstep again. I never would deal with that rep because of the way he treated me during a crisis. He asked me, what am I going to purchase? And Rick, your story reminded me of that, as how GoDaddy treated you. And that's why when I read this, I'm like, oh my, this just reminds me of my Compaq and Dell experience. I know we're only little podcasters and we do what we can, but if I can make a dent and I can hurt sales within GoDaddy in some small way, I will feel like I've accomplished something. If anybody who's listening to this podcast, if I've swayed you as to you were going to purchase a hosting at GoDaddy and you now don't, Rick and I'll feel a little better that we've accomplished something from this. Next email is from John, and this is also in reference to last week's show. On show 389, you made a few comments and requests I am following up on. In reference to a good hosting company, we use Nexus, and that's NEXCESS.net. We are a small VAR in Western Michigan and host about 80 domains with this company. Although this is definitely not our primary business. Very few issues, never outages, etc. And when we do have problems, they are very responsive. The issues are usually on back-end configurations, requested customizations, etc. Greatly enjoy the shows and greatly appreciate your time and commitment to them. John. And John, I have a note you'll be hearing from me about my contact information for my Dell distributor. This is a great email from the computer doc. Hi, Mike. In your most recent podcast, you started out talking about web hosting providers and experiences. We too host with GoDaddy, and on the rare occasion that we've had an issue, their tech support has been very helpful. And it is always nice talking to a tech support department here in the US and Canada and not in India or somewhere else. I have even had GoDaddy tech support help sort out a DNS issue with another provider, Registrar.com, just because I was at my wit's end and was going to transfer that customer's hosting to GoDaddy anyways. However, Steve Cherubino over at podnuts.com seems to love Bluehost. All these websites, they're going in my list that I'm going to check them out, all these hosting providers. You also inquired about hosted exchange services. We currently have a couple customers that are with Microsoft's hosting via Office 365. Results were mostly positive, although the first customer we migrated from on the site with SBS 2003 Exchange to 365. After a 3+ hour tech support call late one Friday evening, plus a couple hours prior to the call, we got their Outlook clients to connect to their hosted exchange. This was due to the somewhat poor documentation on Microsoft's side that did not do a good job of documenting the manual setup. Tier one support guy was very nice, but clearly not very knowledgeable, which is always the case. At least if they're nice and they escalate quickly, we can accept that. After working on it for a while, he spoke with a tier two tech that informed him that sometimes those server things we have documented sometimes don't work, and you have to use this server name. This doesn't sound like a positive review. Anyway, however, it was nice having Microsoft tech support available with the subscription and getting data migrated and mobile devices set up when smooth. Their client also loves the webmail interface of Outlook 365, and most of her employees now are using it exclusively instead of Outlook like they were prior. She can now save an Outlook license going forward. The customer is also very pleased with the spam filtering. We are getting ready next week to do a small migration from some crappy webmail hosted POP3 service to Intermedia's hosted Exchange 2010. Their offerings seems very competitive with many other third-party services. One of the things we like about it, though, is that we can decide on several ways we can work within the customer, with the customer and Intermedia. They have a white label resellable version where we can bill whatever we want and resell the hosted Exchange branded as our own. However, for the first customer, we decided to go with the commission-based advisor version where we will earn 6% of the monthly bill total. I spoke briefly with their sales departments, and their data centers are located in regionally diverse locations in the U.S. and more about Intermedia. I'll have a link, and then I'm going to give you my opinion on why I don't want to become a reseller for any of these things. Now for Skype. Mike, I tried calling in to leave a voicemail a couple of times on Wednesday the 11th. I know you're using a Skype number here, and twice I got a busy signal after two rings. I don't understand because I tested it, and I also got, I received voicemails this week. I don't know if it was just that day or when you were trying. This is mostly as an FYI and may be resolved by Skype later. I do, however, have a Skype-related question. We do some work with a private school and have been tasked with an odd Skype problem. When a user signs into a machine without their Skype profile, then signs into Skype, they do not receive their Skype contacts. Oh, that's very unusual. Now, if a user in their contact list calls them, they will then instantly show up in the contact and then be there for subsequent sign-ins on that machine. This happens on both Windows and OS X. Started about a year ago and is ongoing. It has been happening on multiple OSs and multiple Skype versions. Skype's tech support response looked like an auto response to a home user, and they recommended opening all ports 1 through 65,000. So clearly, that isn't an option. But it does feel like a firewall network issue. Other than this, though, Skype functions fine. This seems to be an issue with both faculty, classroom, and student machines that have not had a Skype sign-in before. Any ideas will be most appreciated. I do have an idea. Go to the back of the network. I'm not sure what ISP they have, but try to bypass the firewall, bypass, you know, anything you can. Have a generic Skype on a laptop or something and plug in. And I want you to kind of go around the network and test that, because I have logged into multiple machines and I get all my contacts. It does sound like a networking issue. It does sound like something's being blocked or prevented. And the way to do this is start backing up slowly and plugging in to see where it's being blocked. So you're going to have to test that by going straight out to the internet, then back up behind the firewall, then back up. You know, I'm not sure of the network configuration there. But start backing up towards where the client sits and then testing at each point and see what happens. Let me know how you make out. Now, you made a comment about getting a commission on the sales for the hosted Exchange service. I am not looking at reselling. That's a great idea, and I understand having another revenue stream. But I don't want to be committed to receiving any kind of revenue on a recommendation for the hosted services. I don't want to be in that position where I can financially gain from making this recommendation. And I want to keep a complete independent opinion where I am not influenced except for the recommendations and references from listeners and other tech people where you share your stories. And then I take it all in and then make a final recommendation for my client, as I'll do for myself, for my hosting. I'll take all the information and then take it from there. It's like when you read reviews on a product, typically what you're supposed to do is the glowing great review, the 5 stars, you kick that out. The one that's 0 stars, you kick that out. And the truth lies somewhere in the middle. That's where you want to, you know, if you're reading a hotel review or any product, you have to take that in with everything. Because look, he had a great experience with GoDaddy. You know, Rick and I have not. So the mileage is going to vary. You know, I'm sure if I had 100 emails from people that are GoDaddy users, I'm sure there would be a good percentage of people that are happy. But there's also going to be a good percentage of people that are unhappy. And it goes with any service. And it really depends on who you get at the time you make that phone call to support. Let's play a voicemail here.
Hey, Mike, this is Denny down in Baltimore. Just wanted to get back to you about the internet providers, the ISP. We use Fat Cow, and they're up pretty much 100%. In fact, I've never known in the past 4 years that the website ever went down. We did have a couple of months ago, I couldn't access my email, which brings up another issue, which you talked about earlier, is that I have all my emails, which goes through the webmail on the Fat Cow account. They're all forwarded to my Gmail account, so I always have another copy of my emails there. So just want to let you know. Take care. Have a great new year.
Now, you mentioned you've had an email problem. Denny, thank you for the voicemail. You should consider not relying on Fat Cow by using Google Apps for your email, and instead of forwarding, just have the email go straight to the back end. That's just a recommendation from what I'm hearing. I have never had an outage with my Google Apps. Now that I say that, they're all going to go down for the next week, but as I, you know, jinx it, I've been very, very happy with Google Apps and the performance, and any clients that I've moved on to Google Apps, they have been very, very happy. Thank you for the Fat Cow recommendation. This is from Adam. Long time, no email. I just wanted to pass along that I've had great success with HostMonster for both domain names and uptime, and have several others using the service without problems. I will not work with 1&1 or iPowerWeb ever again. Let me repeat that. I will not work with 1&1 or iPowerWeb ever again. See, this is another negative 1&1. I've heard too many negative things about 1&1. Adam, thank you very, very much, and I appreciate that. He also sent me a referral link, so if I sign up, he'll get a credit. This is from Alan. I use and highly recommend IT Solutions Now for Exchange Hosting, and that's exchangemailhosting.com. I went to this company about a year and a half ago because they were offering Exchange 2010, with almost all the other Exchange hosting companies were still offering Exchange 2007. I just called them for the first time after a year and a half of great service to set up an annual plan at $75 per year, which works out to about $625 per month. All my websites are registered by GoDaddy. Some websites are hosted at GoDaddy, while others are hosted elsewhere for a variety of reasons, one being I needed mailman service. My only experience with GoDaddy, being with them for 2 years, was just a week ago when I incorrectly registered the wrong domain in haste. My wait time was about 2 to 3 minutes. The person I spoke with was polite and very knowledgeable. He showed me how to delete the incorrect domain and registered the correct domain for me. Since I was being lazy and in a rush, I had him show me how to delete a previously used credit card and also how to point the new domain to a folder I had created on my account. This was all accomplished in under 10 minutes. Enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. Alan, excellent email. Thank you. And when it comes to registering your domains, I have no problem with GoDaddy. As a matter of fact, when I've had any kind of account-related questions, they have been phenomenal. We're talking about their hosted services, and when it gets a little nitty-gritty and a little difficult and technical, that's where they fall down. When it's an account issue or an easy issue, or they got to fix or give you a credit or give you something that when it's easy, I've never had a problem. Or, oh, how do I do this? They've been great. That's good. But when the rubber meets the road and you got a serious technical problem, that's where I see them falling down. Again, this is web hosting, and this is from John. Mike, I'm listening to your podcast 389. I heard that you want advice for what to do with your websites. I resell HostGator and love them. I currently offer 1 gig of space with unlimited databases, accounts, email addresses, etc. for $10 per month if you're interested. I'm happy to give you a substantial discount and offer this to you. If you are interested, let me know, and we could definitely work together on keeping your show on the air and uninterrupted. John, I may take you up on that, so let's see. I want to thank you very, very much for the offer and the recommendation. I am listening to Podcast 389, and you asked a couple of questions. Sorry about the long response, because I had a lot to say. And this is from Tom. He says, I appreciate the info you provide in your podcast. You have given a lot of great info in troubleshooting workstation issues. My background is in large enterprise support, where the enterprise support tools are designed to automate system support for hundreds or thousands of workstations. I have had to drastically change the way I do things in order to support the small businesses that are the focus of my current support services. I find that your show helps find inexpensive solutions to support these one-off challenges. That was my biggest challenge, coming from the big corporate world and how millions of dollars in my budget going to managing IT for small businesses. It is very different. You asked for advice on hosted Microsoft Exchange. You can have your client contact me, and he has his domain, and I would be happy to help them, or you can become a reseller yourself. Now, he's a reseller for Intermedia Hosted Exchange. That's the second recommendation here for them. And it's for about $16 per mailbox per month, and they get unlimited storage. He goes into all the detail. And I have migrated a lot of clients from many different email solutions to my hosted exchange services, and they are very happy with the results. My clients can even add a lease of Outlook 2010 for Windows or Outlook 2011 for Mac from me for only an additional $2 per user per month. Depending upon whether they want to migrate their existing emails up into the cloud, my typical turnaround from the request to full implementation is 7 days. On an emergency basis, I have spun up a company in 12 hours because they couldn't access their emails that were being hosted at GoDaddy. I use either my hosted exchange or Gmail apps for business for email hosting for all my retained clients. I find that other email services have too much downtime. I agree. I have had better than 99.99% uptime on my hosted exchange and better than 99% uptime for Google Apps over the last 3 years. I have seen GoDaddy, Bluehost, Verizon Business Email, and Cox Business Services all have outages lasting multiple days. For company emails, these outages are totally unacceptable. See, now we're talking. This is what I needed. Site hosting. For my own company website, I have been running on Squarespace. I love this service. I haven't ever had downtime with the website. I use my KCM monitoring tools to query my website every 10 minutes. But on the one occasion where I couldn't log into the content management system, I got a response from customer support within 15 minutes and from the Squarespace owner within an hour when I Twittered to the hash Squarespace account. They also answered their phones 24/7. The service is designed for blogs, and it would be a natural fix for your use. I do recommend doing a complete site redesign when and if you go to them to make best advantages of their great content management solution. They offer to migrate your existing blog to their service, but your site would look and function a lot better if you play with the site design tools that they have. Squarespace servers never have the dig effect. They scale up across the cloud instantly if your site suddenly gets tons of traffic. Now, this is Windows 7 Home installed on Ultra Notebooks, when I was talking about Ultra Notebooks last week. For a one-off upgrade, just do an in-place Windows Anytime upgrade to move from Home to Professional. It is painless and only $79. My complaint about the Ultra laptops was they come with Windows Home Premium, but I have clients that need Windows 7 Professional. Yes, it is ridiculous that it costs $79 just so you can join a domain, but this matches the difference in retail pricing between Home Premium and Professional. If you are doing a bunch of laptops, just buy the laptops. Buy yourself a Windows 7 Professional OEM install from Fry, Softmart, or Micro Center. They all have these for $149. Do a clean install on the laptop and then sysprep the computer and do an Acronis home image of the drive. From then on, you can just apply the clean image, install and throw a new license activation code on each. You should buy a batch of 5, 10, 25, or 50 Microsoft volume licenses from CDW, Softmart, or Dell for your own business. Then you can resell these activations as you need them. He also has the instructions for sysprep from TechNet. Tom, thank you so much for taking the time to put that response together. I really, really appreciate it. This is about Ultrabooks, and it is from Kate. Mike, you were asking about Ultrabooks on a recent podcast. I haven't had a chance to see one myself, but here is some information you might find helpful. And this is an article from the WashingtonPost.com, and I'll have it in the show notes. Kate, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate that. This is an email from Peter, and he provided a link on the topic with the WPS problem on routers. There is a public document on Google Docs that has all of the information of almost every router known to man and what to do with that problem. This is a great link that you're going to want to visit if you want to check out which routers has this security problem and how you get around it, how you fix it. Good stuff. Thank you very much, Peter. Give a listen to this voicemail.
Hey, Mike. This is Alan Nation from Seattle. I was calling with a little product I found. It's called the Windows Key Finder. I had a job where I was going to the DoD erasing 21 computers, but we needed the product keys off of them, and I needed a quick way to do it because most of the machines have been password protected by users that were no longer around. So I found this product at www.windows-key-finder.com. It does cost $20, but it works great. You just boot up with it. It finds Office and Windows keys, and you can set them to a file, or you can just write them down, really quickly get them off, and get to formatting your drive. So I wanted to share that. Thanks for the great show.
Thank you very much for that. There's also some free ones out there that you want to try. And one is ProduKey that Kevin Reliant in the chat just mentioned, and I'm making a note of that. There's also Magical Jelly Bean Key Finder, I know. And you can also use Bellark Advisor. Also, SIW. I love the technician's version. You know I talk about that a lot. That also gives you the product keys. Great tip. Thank you. This email is from Brian, who's in the chat, and he says, Mike, my wife's Facebook account was hacked into last night by someone in Syria. She contacted Facebook, and they had her change her password. One of her questions to me was, what other password should she be changing? And is her security compromised on her home or work computer? I wasn't sure how to answer her. And as I was thinking about her situation, I thought about my own. I'm using one password or close variants of it for everything. Everybody does the same thing. If it was compromised, I would be in trouble. I know they say we should have different passwords for everything, but there is no possible way to remember them all without writing them down, which is not good either. Is there a solution out there? Also, being that we are using Avira on both home computers, but I use the iPad so much, is there an antivirus spyware that I should be running on it? You should try to use more than one password. I recommend for managing all of your Windows passwords for different sites, a great free program called KeePass, and that's KeePass.info. Use that. All the information's encrypted. And we're going to talk about managing passwords for a minute. I have a Facebook rule of thumb that I shared with Brian, and I wanted him to share with his wife. I never play any Facebook games, and any request that anyone sends to me to participate in a game or to participate where that add-in now wants access to my Facebook account, I say no, and I completely ignore it or I reject the request. I am not in favor of participating in any of those because that is how you get hacked. And unfortunately, that is the problem. I know a lot of people are addicted and play a lot of those games and everything with Facebook. You can't do it and you got to reject it. Now, you should have multiple passwords for critical, for banking, different than something else. And unfortunately, it's one of those things where you have to have a variation of a password that's complicated enough that you're going to remember and that you don't write it down. Now, certainly KeePass can help you manage a lot of the passwords online. One of the things I recommend avoiding is marrying yourself to an app on an iPhone on managing your passwords. You never know when that app is going to break and you're not going to have access to it. And a great example, one of my mission critical apps, and I cannot get, and I bought the app and I cannot get support from the app manufacturer, is TimeLogger. They updated TimeLogger this week and it now crashes and I can't run it. I can't delete the app because all the data will be missing and there's no way for me to get the data out of the app because the app is crashing. And it made me realize this is all my time and some of it I can't even recreate because I put my heart and soul into that app for tracking my time. And it made me think, you cannot depend on a single app because you never know when the app's going to break and you're done and you're not going to get your data from it. Unless there's an independent way to export that data to another medium to save it, then you can rely on that app. So now I have to get a different solution for how I'm going to track time, and I got to make sure it's backed up independently from using iCloud or using, and it's a problem. And the data is lost. And I so wish that the tech support would at least respond to my emails that I filled out on their web form on the website, and they have not responded. Another great support. And you know how I stand behind TimeLogger. Well, I can't recommend that now. You know, now my advice is avoid the app TimeLogger and don't buy it. Don't put all your eggs into an app. And I guess that's the advice here. So even KeePass, you have to be careful. Unfortunately, there's no great one answer here, except you got to use your memory and you got to have the important passwords. They got to be different and you got to be able to remember them and you can't write them down. The next thing, you don't need antivirus for your iPad. Not at all. And a virus is good enough for the PCs that you have. Maxwell, I have your email. I am going to cover it next week because you ask such a great question and just hang in there and I will dedicate a lot of time to the next Mike Tech Show on your question. This email from Kevin. Hello, Mike. Here is another announcement regarding the Geeksters. Hello, fellow Mike Tech Show listeners. This is Kevin Reliant making another announcement for the Geeksters, starring Mitch Hammond, Fred Gaines, and Kevin Adair every Saturday night at 8 p.m. And that is at geeksters.tv. Watch us deliver and discuss related and sometimes non-related tech news. It's geeksters.tv. They're moving from Fridays to Saturdays now at 8 o'clock. Give them a watch. Tune in and geek out on Saturday night. If you know anyone buying anything from Amazon, please use my link, amazon.mikenation.net, to make your purchase. You can go to miketechshow.com, click on the Amazon link on the left-hand side of the website. That helps support the show. That is the best way to give back and help support the show. Use my Amazon link, and I thank you so much, not only for a tremendous 2011 for commissions from that, but also continuing into the new year, and thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. I have some music. When I was preparing the music for the show tonight, what was I going to use? You know, I have an affinity to a female artist, acoustic, and when they're female acoustic live and they have a wonderful voice, well, that this hits on all of them.
That you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I didn't give to you. Oh, friend, why are you so shy? It ain't like you to hold back or hide from the light. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I'd hope you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you said. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah. You know how the time flies. Only yesterday was the time of our lives. We were born and raised in a summer haze, bound by the surprise of our glory days. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, I couldn't fight it. I had hoped you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me it isn't over yet. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you said. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah. Nothing compares, no worries or cares, regrets and mistakes, their memories made. Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste? Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you too. Don't forget me, I beg. I'll remember you said. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it hurts instead. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
That, of course, is Adele. Someone Like You. Hope you like that. And I will have a link to where you can purchase her music from Amazon.com. I want to thank everybody for downloading, staying subscribed to the show, participating in the show. I really appreciate it so much. Thank you very, very much. And I will be back same time, same channel next week. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.